I was supposed to tell this story about how Kane had this girlfriend that he killed in a car crash. And it was just insane. And it ends up, I'm at a funeral home with a dummy in a coffin.
Oh, my God.
With Kane's mask on, pretending I'm Kane. I'm on top of the coffin having mock sex with this mannequin.
Oh, my God, no.
And
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. And Vince is yelling at me. God damn it, do it harder, make more noise and stuff. It's got to be over the top.
I really did. I screwed your brains out.
So the story of the night is that John Cena returns. At the end of Money in the Bank, he confronts Roman Reigns, and his music plays, and they stare at each other. That's what happened at the end of Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
So now I figured out why WWE was freaking out and they had to get the word to Dave Meltzer. Even though we hate you and you get everything wrong, please tell your people, log out, then log back in. I can see why the WWE was freaking out because they wanted everybody to see John Cena there at the end.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad it was – I saw that it was not just me because I was concerned that it was my internet, you know.
No.
That was bad.
It was the entire WWE universe, and I think Ricochet is the one that got fucked over more than anybody else on that.
Probably. Well, what else is new? What else? It's just another day.
He did some spectacular shit, and then they showed some of it, and then you have to go back and watch it. But God dang, so it was a very different looking John Cena than we've seen the last time we saw him. I would just remind everybody: number one, the wellness policy doesn't apply to part timers, and we have a month until SummerSlam, so. Potentially he could stick some needles in his ass and get it blown back up to old John Cena potential. And speaking of wellness policy, how about that Jimmy Uso? Huh?
Hey, not only does he keep his job, not only do they keep him on TV, but fuck, they just give him a belt too.
He wins the championship because all of Britt Whitmire's booking ideas from 2017 are now being adopted by World Wrestling Entertainment.
It's nice they finally listened, I guess.
I can't wait for the Island Nation t-shirts to hit WWE shop, shopwwe.com.
Have they not already hit? Typical. I don't know.
The crowd.
Well, you know, supposedly, I'm not trying to, jump a year ahead of here, but supposedly they're working toward a Roman Reigns Rock WrestleMania. So I don't know if that's really true or not, but I've seen that on a couple of different places. So it's just interesting that they're going from Cena, if they are actually doing that, to.
If that's what they're doing, I mean, I can't even imagine the kind of money that Dwayne would have to command for that. I mean, how many more people are going to have to be fired so they can afford Dwayne to come back for one WrestleMania?
Well, I imagine they had to dish out a little bit of money for Cena, don't you think?
Well, Cena's a pretty penny too, but I think The Rock is on a higher, much higher pay
scale. Yeah. Oh yeah, you're right. Definitely. Well, what do you think, man? Do you think Cena's there to push Roman over or get Roman over more, or do you think he's there to snag a win and keep the belt for a couple months and
I can't
Roman
imagine
get it back or something?
I can't imagine he would win at SummerSlam. I think the idea is to get him over because he's so busy with his Hollywood stuff. He doesn't have time to do this. I'm surprised he had time to show up tonight. He's gonna have barely enough time to show up tonight. He'll do, I think, a couple of remote things like The Rock did a few years ago when he did his thing with Cena.
Yeah.
And then
between
I don't think
he, yeah. Mm-hmm.
If he's able to make some appearances, I mean, they need him more than anything on Monday nights. They don't need him on Friday, but of course, they'll probably lean toward putting him on Friday because.
Roman's on Friday.
Yeah. And, it's network television. Oh, you have heard the solution for Monday now, haven't you?
No, I haven't. I don't think so.
Well, the solution for Monday is apparently Goldberg is expected back on television on Monday.
Oh, God.
Apparently, this is how they figured it out.
God dang, man. So he's the remedy for Bobby Lashley. So he's the baby face solution for Bobby Lashley.
So Tony Khan, I'll take your 48-year-old signing of Christian Cage and I'll up you to a 60-year-old Goldberg.
I'll take Christian Cage any day, dude.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
God.
Any day.
Oh, my God. That's some funny. That is some funny shit. That apparently is.
Why, man? Oh, my God. I know. I shouldn't ask. I know. It's rhetorical, but God.
I may have to watch it next week and compare between see if Raw or Impact is the worst show. I may have to look.
Impact again wasn't too bad this past week. It was okay. I mean, it was. I've seen a whole lot worse.
You'll go over the results on Slammiversary. Yeah. It looked like a pretty interesting show, but Money in the Bank was pretty interesting, and in the fact that they brought Cena out at the very end, and they had all of the glitches with Peacock begging Dave Meltzer, who they allegedly hate, to go in and tell his people to log out, log back in, delete the app, bring it back on, shove it up your ass, polish it off, yeah, do all well, that stuff.
Yeah, well, for what it's worth, it did work. When I saw that, we were log out and log back in.
And of course, they teased with some social media of Becky being back on the show.
Well, she teased herself, her tweet.
That's right. And that all sorts of Instagram and Twitter and everything.
Yeah, I didn't see Instagram, but I saw Twitter.
Quick quiz. Who is the number one star in World Wrestling Entertainment right now?
Oh, that would be, okay. Before I answer.
Yeah.
I got a couple in mind. Actually, yeah. I was just effing around. But when you say the biggest star, are you talking about fan pops, or are you talking about babyface star? Are you talking about their star, the one they want to be the star?
The biggest name right now, the biggest star in WWE right now.
Biggest name.
Not John Cena.
I'd say Reigns.
Roman Reigns number one. Who's number two? Yeah. Who's number two?
I swear, did we go over this before? I don't know, man.
I'm gonna say Charlotte Flair is number two.
Okay, yeah,
I'm gonna say she's the second biggest star in WWE. After that, it's very murky. After that, I don't know. There's like a million different ways to go around it, and I don't know who would be the biggest star after her. If Becky comes back, she's number three, or she's two or three.
Oh, I'd say she jumped Charlotte, but a little side note here about Charlotte, and I think you would agree that, yeah, that's true. And on top of that, she's kind of had to make a little bit of a comeback,
you know,
because she fell off a little bit, you know, between getting hurt and just, I don't know, I guess bad booking. We blame that too, you know. It's enough of that to go around,
sure,
for everybody. But between that and just, I don't know, I think people just kind of got tired of her, you know, just kind of got overfed doses of Charlotte Flair, and I think people just got kind of tired of her. So between all that, she still managed to come back and got that. I noticed a nice pop for her tonight, man, in that Rhea match.
100%. That entire match was incredibly intense. They did a great job with it. I can't find any fault with it. I thought it was very entertaining.
I love that match.
Were really, really good. That's the problem with the promotion right now as far as the stars go. You got a pretty easy one at number one. I think a fairly easy one at number two, and then after that, who knows?
Who knows exactly what's going on, man. You know, I was a little disappointed. I don't know about you, but I was a little disappointed on Drew's reaction from the crowd tonight.
That may have been during the glitchy portion of things, but yeah, there was.
I didn't hear the actual intro pop for him or lack thereof pop for him. But I was more so talking about during the match, like in spots and stuff. He didn't get a good reaction, and I was hearing a smattering of boos, even, I think. And then actually, I think God dang, your boy and his henchman saved Drew basically from all the bullshit, because he got a bigger, you know, those guys got a bigger, you know, booing or whatever than Drew did.
It doesn't look like a woman that just had a baby. I'll just tell you that right there.
No, sir, man.
Good God Almighty.
She looks almost like Tennille.
She does. That is a great picture of her. That's an amazing picture of Becky Lynch in front of the Cow Palace or whatever they're calling it for. Dickie's Arena. Yeah, it looked awesome. I mean, the crowds look on SmackDown and on Money in the Bank were amazing. They were tremendous. As was the crowd on Dynamite on Wednesday on WWE Dynamite.
Yeah.
They're still mad at him. They wanted to murder JR over saying WWE Dynamite, the AEW kids. It's so funny.
Just, I'm sorry. He's been gone there for too long to make that kind of mistake. Man.
That's
I'm sorry.
Look at that. That's something.
Golly Moses, man.
Steve, I can't wait for her to come back.
But you are absolutely right, dude. When she does come back, she's going to be the hottest thing on there. And you know what? She may even be hot as Roman.
But they need to put her – see, they desperately need to put her on the shit show, which is Raw right now, because Raw needs the help. That's the problem.
Yeah. Is Charlotte on – well, I guess it doesn't matter now because the champ kind of floats between the two.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they definitely need her on Raw, but I bet she'll go to SmackDown.
I would say as much as anything they can do to bolster up Raw right now, they need to, because that show is just the absolute drizzling shits.
Dude, man.
It is no bueno at the moment. Last week I thought we kind of proved it. I thought, and I'll do it again. I think Impact and Raw are on about the same level. Honestly.
Now, you're talking about content-wise, right?
Like absolutely.
Enjoyability-wise.
I'm not going to say that they have the same number of stars or the same amount of, like, good wrestling or good promos or anything like that, but in terms of like, booking and watchability like and all
pound
that.
Pound for pound.
Yeah, I mean, especially when one of them is a two-hour show, so that immediately is going to give it a huge, like, right, yeah. To me, option.
Huge. So do I dare ask, is there any chance now that with everything, just everything from the pandemic, just everything, is there any chance now that Raw goes to 2 hours?
Oh, no. No, Genie's out of the bottle on that one. There's no way. There's no way. It can't be done.
I just don't see how it's going to do. I mean, I don't know. Maybe so.
We're on the road to hell with that thing, pal. We can't get off of that one. We can't do that one at all. Money in the Bank did start with a kickoff show, and your pregame match was Jimmy and Jey Uso against Rey and Dominic Mysterio. 11 minutes and 26 seconds. And yes, despite the fact that he blew a 20 and a half 10 days ago, Jimmy Uso is now one half of the tag team champions. And it was Jimmy who actually pinned Rey Mysterio to win the championship.
Not only did he keep his job, not only does he still get TV time, not only does he get a belt, he gets the pin.
That's the greatest. I don't even know how you justify it or even like, I don't understand. What kind of bullshit are they feeding the office on that one? Like, oh, no, the lawyer tells me we can get out of this. No, the lawyer says it's just bullshit. We're going to beat it just like we did 2 years ago.
Oh, man. Well, they do like the good old days over there. So this is like the good old days of
Vince with a briefcase full of money headed down to Pensacola.
There you go. You're
telling me?
There you go.
Holy shit. I can't even imagine.
Storylines are important, bruh. Come on now.
Well, I know this is what they wanted, and I know it's like it must have been so important to them. They're like, we can't deviate. We just cannot deviate. There's just no way. All right.
Storyline's too deep. That's too hard for those writers to switch up and do some shit like that. If some funny emergency writers were to happen, you know, God forbid he actually like breaks his leg or something. They actually have to do something like that, you know?
Oh man, those writers, they were going to keep the title on Chris Benoit for another 6 weeks, but they had to kind of back out of that. That was the sad
part. Had to talk them down.
why can't we do Nancy in the mixed tag? Oh, we can't. Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought we were good for that. I didn't realize. The match itself was, I thought, very good. I thought the Usos can't have a bad match. Don't let the motherfucker drive. I think is the key to the whole thing.
that's it, man.
Hey, innocent until proven guilty, pal.
Whatever.
Women's Money in the Bank match, 15 minutes, 46 seconds. Were you surprised that Nikki Ash was your winner in this one? I was very surprised.
I was a little surprised, I guess. Yeah. I have to say. I don't know if it's a good surprise or a bad surprise. I don't know, dude. I haven't really made my mind up about her yet. Have you?
She's changed her physique a lot. She's lost a ton of weight.
Oh, for real. Yeah.
Yeah. She's really done a good job.
Oh, purely talking about that, yeah, she looks fantastic. And she's as good as she ever was in the ring. I'm not knocking any of that. I'm just talking gimmick wise. I just think it's a little silly. But you know, again, maybe it's not trying to appeal to me. So, okay.
Brian's favorite spot was when Alexa Bliss climbed up the ladder and hypnotized Zelina Vega and made her crawl back down the ladder.
Yeah, there were visions of Impact dancing in my head.
That's some funny shit. She was hypnotized.
It was hypnotized.
She was hypnotized. She like had to back down the ladder very slowly. It was very funny.
Is Zelina the natural enemy of Alexa Bliss? Is that what it is?
That is correct. That is absolutely the natural enemy of Alexa. That's funny. Vega was lying face first on a ladder platform, and Naomi powerbombed Morgan on top of her. Naomi managed to hit a double stunner on Natty and Tamina. Some good spots from Natty.
Yeah.
In this one. And some good spots from Naomi on this one, too.
Well, you know, this is going to sound very misogynistic. I'm just going to preface
it out there.
Just going to put it out there. But despite the whole me not getting the Alexa thing, man, she looked fantastic tonight.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to say, she dropped that damn skirt or whatever and had
this they might be sneaking back into hot Alexa. You know, they might be getting away from this and getting this back into hot Alexa. I don't know.
Dude, when they showed those pictures of hot Alexa from back when she won
that was stupid.
Man, stupid hot. I just missed that.
Just stupid hot, that girl. Oh, my God. Backstage, the Usos celebrated. Roman Reigns said he was happy for them. They offered him the title belts and said, for you, but he told them, hold on to them for me. He advised them that winning the titles was the easy part. He told Jay that he's the reason he was there. Then looked at Jimmy and said, and you, but didn't follow up. I don't know what that means. A few people chucked.
I heard that. But laughing when he said that. Like Jimmy, it was an inside deal, you know?
Right. Jay and Jimmy's looks took turns sucking up to Reigns. He told them he was proud of them. There were some brief boring chants as Roman Reigns spoke to the Usos as well. I can't figure out. I don't know what happened on Friday, but tonight, do you think Roman was being booed? I think it was a mix of boos and cheers.
What was it like? Did you see that when he came in for the entrance? Because I took Stanley out right after the Money in the Bank, the dude's match.
I was trying to appreciate that, and I couldn't tell if it was mostly, but it felt like just about a 50-50 mixture of booze and
50-50,
cheers.
That seems like what it was when in the last Hell in a Cell, I guess.
And I could be completely wrong about that, but that's what it felt like to me.
Probably what it seemed like during the match, too, really.
Before the upcoming match, they decided to replay some footage from last year of the Viking Raiders and Street Profits doing their competitions, such as bowling, basketball, and axe throwing. Yeah, I remember it well.
I do too.
Excuse me. This one I did not see much of. AJ Styles and almost defeating the Viking Raiders to retain the Raw Tag Team Championship. I did see the criticism from Brad Stutz, super manager and commentator to the Stars, and also Booker to the Stars, that he would not have let them get that much offense in against Omos. That was his criticism of the match.
Yeah, just if nothing else, because they didn't really build them up to being badass enough to be able to do that. You know, sometimes they build up these guys to make it seem like they could maybe face up to somebody like an Omos or whatever, but they never really – I guess we're just to assume they're supposed to be big and bad because they're the Viking fucking Raiders. You know, I don't know. But, yeah, I'm with him on that. I agree with him on that.
Kevin Packer.
I was never convinced the Viking Raiders was ever going to win that match to start with.
Yeah, I think that's accurate, and it kind of encompasses my feelings about Sami Callihan with Omega at the Impact pay-per-view. I mean, they did a good job of building it up, but I never really thought he was a threat. I never really thought he was going to get it. So.
Right. And you know, speaking of that real fast, I just realized the other day that it was just for the Impact title. I was thinking it was for all of Omega's titles.
The Impact title, but not the TNA title.
Right. Well, fuck, I don't know. Now, see, you got me all screwed up. Yeah, I don't know.
What about what about the Global Force Wrestling Championship? Is it also for that one as well, or?
I don't know. Slap Global Force.
You old slap that, nuts.
Is that the one with the handsome stranger?
Handsome stranger. Oh, Buff is the stuff. I just remember when, because Cody and X went to the same high school as Bagwell, and they would go to their teacher and they go, "Hey, we want to be wrestlers when we grow up." And they go, "Oh, do you know Mark?" And they would like, "Fuck you!" And they were like, "I don't want to be like him. He sucks." They were
like, "Mark, get the hell out of my face!"
Oh, do you know Mark? That's so funny.
Teacher thought she was being all cool.
Right. Kevin Patrick interviewed Drew McIntyre, because if he defeated Drew McIntyre, that would be weird. He's only like 150 pounds. I don't think he could do it. He was thrilled to be back with the live crowd. That's Drew McIntyre, not Kevin Patrick, because who gives a fuck about that guy? And he needed to win tonight.
I didn't even know that dude's name until that just now.
I thought Kevin Patrick is like, I would get him confused with Kevin Kelly, really, if you were just going to do that. I can't believe they're still using Kevin's. He had one last story to tell, and he was kicking heads off tonight, climbing the ladder and winning in the briefcase. Bobby Lashley over Kofi Kingston, 7:37. He ends up, and the finish on this is they end up, Lashley puts him in the full Nelson. He goes unconscious, and they have to call the match. And that was how Bobby Lashley got his groove back, apparently.
Okay, I don't know. Maybe this will pay off in some way, I guess. But I was never convinced that Kofi was going to win this match. No. It just didn't make sense.
They did an okay job with the build on it. They did all right with it.
It was okay.
But it was never like, no, this is the guy. No.
Right. I mean, it just kind of came out of nowhere, for one thing, you know.
The crowd booed as Lashley taunted them. Lashley applied the hurt lock and Kingston appeared to tap. No, he didn't appear. He just passed out.
Yeah, it was.
This to me was, I thought this was the best match on the card. It was Charlotte Flair over Rhea Ripley to win the Raw Women's Championship in 16 minutes and 49 seconds. The crowd was pretty high for this, so I thought this was pretty good.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
And this is when things went south for the old Peacock. Riddle approached Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs in gorilla position. Riddle was a fan of theirs and Boogs was a fan of his. They wished each other luck.
How does McMahon say that guy's name?
Rick Boogs. Is that how he says it? Rick Boogs. I can do it good now that I've got the congestion. I can do it. I'm good, Barry Wang. Here's Rick Boogs. He made it into the Applebee's commercial, by the way.
Yeah, oh God.
You saw he made it into the
Applebee's. I saw bits and pieces of that. I don't know. I must have missed him.
I would pay money to see Vince McMahon have a meal in an Applebee's. Mr. Republican, Mr. Salt of the Earth, Mr. Pickup Truck Loving Vince McMahon. God damn it. What are these wings? They taste like shit. God damn. Get them in shit. That's what he would do. You call us a club sandwich? What is it? The shit club? God damn. Take your shit out. I'm not feeling good in the neighborhood, bitch. God damn. There was they finally got the Kevin Nash episode of Broken Skull Ranch on.
Mm-hmm.
And there's very little new on it, but it's interesting. It's good. And I don't know why we had to hold it 2 weeks for vetting. I don't know what state secrets were edited out of that before the Peacock figured out.
Oh, is that what it was?
I don't know what they were. Nobody knows. It was just like it was supposed to be like 2 weeks ago, and they held it and they held it and they held it and they held it and they held it. And oh, wait, we got a pay-per-view coming up. We'll put it on Sunday. I don't know. Anyway, so they talk to him and they go, well, he's coming back from Europe, and Vince is going to put the strap on Diesel. So instead of going back to Atlanta, he's flying up to Vince's house in Connecticut, and he's sitting on Vince's couch, and he falls asleep because he's had this monster trip in Europe. It's been awful, terrible overseas flight, and he falls asleep on Vince's couch. Vince goes up to him and says, "Goddamn, pal, make yourself comfortable." Which I love. I just love that idea. "Goddamn, pal. How'd you think of me What do you think we're putting the belt on you? That's what he said. He said, what do you think we're putting the belt on you? Well, I just had the Intercontinental belt on. No, no, no. The big one. The big one.
The brass ring.
Yeah. I need you in Madison Square Garden to kill Backlund. Beat Backlund's ass. And he did. He was like 8 seconds. He kills him. The real story, I mean, honestly, the real story is how did Bob Backlund end up with the championship in 1994? I mean, we need to go through that. I don't even know how that happened.
I was wondering that back then, to be brutally honest.
Exactly. It's like, boy, we are really, I don't know. Was he there, Goldberg, back in 94? I don't know what he's doing.
Apparently, something.
Seriously, Goldberg's the answer tomorrow night on Raw. You got to watch.
God, I know. I missed all. No.
Dude, God. You have to hate watch.
Well, I'm sure I will, but it's
pretend
just,
it's University of Alabama. It. Dude, pretend it's University of Alabama football like I do and hate watching the fuck out of it.
Okay.
That's what you do. And then you hope like they get upset by whoever it is, Vanderbilt or whoever. And sometimes, like once in a blue moon, it happens.
Yeah, sometimes.
And then Nick Saban rips his hair out, and then all the guys cry out, and it don't matter. As long as we beat Auburn, we're going to be doing it. And then they lose the Iron Bowl, and then, you know, they cry.
And they're not making a damn national championship game somehow.
Anyway, because they lobby, and he goes on ESPN, and he goes on game day, and he cries. And, oh, we played a tough schedule. We had injuries. Not them. It's just stupid ass. Piece of garbage. Boogs was excited, but Riddle admitted that Orton never actually told him that. He just assumed as much. Riddle asked Boogs to play Orton's theme. Now, I did see part of that. That was pretty funny. I did sort of enjoy that.
Man, all that stuff was jumping around. I didn't see shit on that.
The men's Money in the Bank ladder match, 18 minutes and 5 seconds, and most of America and most of the United States missed it anyway, because the Peacock Network sucked a bag of ass. Your winner.
Like the last half of it, I guess.
Big E, the announcer's plugging SummerSlam in Las Vegas, Nevada. Yes, it's going to be at the Legion Stadium, the home of your Las Vegas Raiders. So this will by far be the largest crowd ever in that stadium, because the Raiders couldn't have any people in that stadium last year, and it might have benefited them. I don't know. I just would like to point out they beat the Saints in the first game played in that stadium. Now, would they have beaten them in week 9? Probably not.
Doubtful.
Probably not. But they beat them in week 1, and that's what's important.
Okay? That's what's important. That's what matters.
Patrick interviewed Seth Rollins, who could barely breathe. Rollins was pissed that he lost. Rollins thought he should have been in the Universal title match instead of the ladder match, and he blamed Edge. He wasn't waiting around. He said he was next in line for the winner of Edge versus Reigns. Roman Reigns defeated Edge to win the Universal Championship. This was 33 minutes and 5 seconds.
It didn't seem like that.
It didn't. I have to. That's probably a compliment. Actually,
it is. It is.
It was a good match. I mean, the interference from Seth Rollins at the end, notwithstanding, it creates some storylines, and a lot of people are going to forget it because it kind of takes Edge away from Roman now, because he's brawling with Seth Rollins through the crowd, and I guess he's going to pair off with – they're going to be dance partners now, and now Roman's new dance partner is WWE soon-to-be Hall of Famer John Cena, I'm assuming.
Right, and I guess they're – and I'm assuming, too, that it's going to end up being a Rollins-Reigns setup for maybe, what, Survivor Series?
Yeah, and again, as you say, if they're poking toward Roman Reigns versus The Rock for WrestleMania, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Because they cast the die for Roman versus Seth, because Seth is in his face. And for those of us that know the history, you know, knowing the history of AEW is very important to the understanding of the promotion, according to James Good.
You have to go through some. You didn't see season 2, episode 14?
What happens is there's a blog, and it's called AEW Secrets Exposed. And once you go in that blog, it explains everything in the backstory and becomes completely clear. You'll know why Michael Nakazawa is a complete douche. It makes it so enjoyable.
Who again? Who did you say?
Michael, knock it off and get off my TV. I'm sorry, it's still funny. I don't.
It's just it'll never not be funny. I mean, it's just one of those things. It's
Michael,
just
knock it off and get off my TV. Oh, they keep using it for no reason at all. It can't work worth a fuck. It takes a decent bump, but Jesus Christ, I don't know.
They just like saying his name. That's what it is.
I guess that's what it is. That's the whole situation. So John Cena comes in at the end. He confronts Roman Reigns. He looks very different again than the last time that we saw him. And like I said, there's enough time to get some steroids in that ass and get him pumped up and blown up before SummerSlam. So again, the wellness policy does not apply to part-timers. And it apparently
I can read the contract. Yes.
It doesn't apply to Samoans. So we have some sort of loopholes in that whole situation, right?
It's always some loopholes.
Always a sort of loophole. Now, if I can get to my Slammiversary results, most important for you and me is that Chelsea Green is now on Impact. That was very
interesting.
I like that. Good to see her back teaming with Matt Cardona.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was so funny with them because, you know, she was in Impact for so long, and then he was in WWE for so long, and then she gets to NXT in like a month or so later. He gets let go, and so she's in WWE, and he's not, and then she gets let go, and so and they both end up in Impact, so it's kind of weird the way all that went for them.
All right, Knockouts Tag Team Championship match, Fire and Flava versus Decay, Havoc and Rosemary. I can't believe Havoc and Rosemary still have jobs. They defeated Fire and Flava, and they are the new champions.
I had no idea there was Fire and Flava in there.
This grade gets a C from Bleacher Report. Ultimate X for the X Division Championship. Petey Williams is still in this promotion.
That's amazing, right? Amazing Red, I say amazing, right?
Yeah, I think Petey Williams, as long as Scott D'Amore has some hand in hiring people, it seems as Petey Williams will always have a job.
You know.
And I'm not being super critical, but Petey Williams was kind of a one-trick pony, honestly. I like the guy. I like the move, but, you know, it's kind of a one. That's it. Once you've seen that, that's it.
Yeah, and that was definitely his signature move. But, see, so many people have copied that since – all that back in the day when he was in his first go around with him, that it just doesn't have the flavor anymore, man. You know, I mean, it's a badass move, but it's like, it's not a eye opener, a Gawker kind of thing anymore.
It's almost like if Cameron Grimes could only do that crossbody rollover thing that he does, right? Which I can never figure out. I've seen it 5 feet away from it, and I can't figure out how he does it. But if that was like the only thing that he had, that he would be Petey Williams. But he's got like way more than that. And he could cut promos and do all kind of shit. So,
and he doesn't even do that in every match.
No, he doesn't. He does save it for the big ones most of the time. Let's see: Trey Miguel, Ace Austin, Petey Williams, Rohit Raju, Chris Bay, and Josh Alexander. Your winner is Josh Alexander. It's a B+ match according to the folks at Bleacher Report. Mixed match title. Here we go. Brian Myers and Tenille Dashwood. Well, did you enjoy your cameo?
I did, man.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Now, let me ask you. There was just a clip. It looks like she was cut off. Is there a way
I can send it? Oh, I've got the whole thing I can send to you.
Okay, good.
The whole thing, but I'll send the whole thing to you.
She
wished Brian a happy birthday is what she did.
And, I was thinking that's what it was, but I didn't hear that part. But awesome, dude.
She was
that's
kind so enough awesome. To lie and say that she remembered talking to us in Winston-Salem, which was nice. That was really good of her to fake that. No, but she's a lovely, lovely girl. She really is.
She is. Thank you, man. That was really cool.
This is the second time that I've actually used Cameo, and both times it's been very satisfactory.
Hi, Brian. I hope you guys are well. It's awesome to hear from you again. I definitely remember our conversation about Ring of Honor and you guys being there, and it being one of like the coolest moments in wrestling for me. So, yeah, good. Hi, Britt.
Oh, there. That's the end. Oh, that's worse. Well. Okay. I'll share the whole thing with you.
Okay. Yeah.
It was nice. Yeah. She does eventually wish you a happy birthday for sure.
Okay. Sweet. That is awesome, man.
Book her on Cameo. She's a lovely, lovely girl.
So, is it safe to say we are her pals now? Are we pals with Tenille? Just like we're pals with Danielle.
Is she going to be at WrestleKate? Has she been booked for WrestleKate yet?
I haven't seen her.
I would assume she's going to just run to us and hug us when she sees us.
There you are.
There. It was Chelsea Green and Matt Cardona defeating Dashwood and Myers. It is a C+, according to our friends at the Bleacher Report.
Tenille's my real name.
the ageless Eddie Edwards against W. Morrissey. Was our next matchup.
Morrissey, that name cracks me up.
It does. Morrissey defeats Edwards. It's a C plus. the return of Finn Juice.
I noticed that. Yeah, I thought you'd like.
There you go. Finley and Juice getting together, defeating Fulton and Shera. It's a C grade, according to this. These are not good grades.
No, I noticed.
Saban against Moose. It's Saban over Moose in this one. It's an upset victory with a roll up. It's a B minus, according to our friends at Bleacher Report.
Wow.
The fatal four way for the Impact Tag Team Championships. Let's see. Who do we have? TJP was ruled
out. Yeah, this had a surprise in there, I think.
It did. No Way Jose is now No Way.
No Way.
It's him. God damn it. He can't do that.
That's like a McMahon move. Yes.
We copyrighted No Way. Son of a bitch. Fala Ba's teammate was No Way. Not No Way Jose, who used to call himself, what did he call himself over in CWF Mid-Atlantic? I can't remember his name.
Oh,
Manny damn. Something. It was Manny something.
Yes, Manny, yes.
Big feller. The Good Brothers, Willie Mack and Rich Swann teaming up, and Violent by Design's Rhino and Joe Doering. And I don't mind Violent by Design. I think that faction is good.
It's Joe the Doering's Good Brothers. A pretty big dude, man. He reminds me of like a Stan Hansen or something.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Big ass feller. Oh, I like that. Yeah. I like his look. I really do. He does. He is, you're right on with that Stan Hansen comp. The way he stares people down and shit is pretty cool.
And that it's mustache like, and that hat and all that shit.
Who was the guy in ROH who was the last real man or the last real wrestler?
That's Silas. My boy, Silas.
He kind of reminds me a little bit of Silas.
Silas going on there too. I think he's a lot taller than Silas though.
Good Brothers win
remember
the title.
When we saw him when we met him in Charlotte, he was a little bit shorter than I thought he was going to be.
Yeah.
I'm not knocking him. I just didn't realize he was, you know, short. He's short.
Stout feller. He's got them.
But he is a stout feller.
Stout feller for sure. It is the Good Brothers winning the championship, and it is a C grade for that one as well. Knockouts championship match, Deonna Purrazzo versus Thunder Rosa. It is a B as Purrazzo defeats Thunder Rosa to retain her title. Purrazzo is on a bit of a hot streak. I think she's really being elevated right now.
I liked her little promo on Thursday night when I watched Impact.
Yeah. I wonder if they would ever like to use her over on AEW at some point in time, because I think she could be pretty good over there.
I think she'd fit right in, dude. I do.
Great. The no DQ
match. I watched a little bit of a ROH this weekend, too, and I saw our girl, Mandy Leon.
Mandy's like
a lifer. Kick that ass.
Did she get that? Was she in a tag match, or was she? What was she doing?
No. She was actually taking on what's that girl that used to do the interviews on ROH, and now she's wrestling Quinn McKay.
Oh yes, Quinn McKay is wrestling now. She's tiny.
Yeah, she is tiny.
Oh, she's a tiny girl.
She's like Zelina Vega tiny.
She's a lovely girl too.
She's quite lovely. Oh yeah.
She more or less hosts their stuff now. She hosts their program.
Does she still host that stuff too?
Yeah, I saw her doing interviews like weekend before last. She was doing some stuff. Yeah. Here we go. Sammy Callahan against Kenny Omega. It's an A-plus match, and Omega defeats Callahan. He retains. So there you go. The one-winged angel onto thumbtacks to put away the draw, and Omega successfully retains his title. Blinded by salt in his eyes. They use salt in the eyes. They use that gimmick, Ryan.
That's a great Martin Briley song.
It is a fantastic one. One hit wonders for 1,000, Alex, even though you're dead.
Google it.
Callahan's delivered the pile driver to the referee. Chris Sabin and Eddie Edwards fought off the Good Brothers, preventing them from interfering on Omega's behalf. See, when you're blinded by salt and you're unable, you can't really tell a 160-pound referee from Kenny Omega. So you would just go ahead, pick him up, and pile drive him, because they would feel exactly the same.
That's what happens.
A referee wearing a referee shirt and pants would feel the same as Kenny Omega not wearing a shirt and with just trunks on. And so you just go ahead and just pile drive him.
Stop it.
Because you're not able to see. You're just unable to see. That's how that goes.
Big damn that salt.
No, right? AW Dynamite.
Thought it was sea salt.
It was kosher. Because, you know, you got to hate on the Jews. Kidding. It's a joke. It's a joke. Kidding. Like big week for AEW Dynamite. They go over a million in terms of their viewership going up against the NBA Finals. Even though these are two teams without a lot of national following, that would be the Phoenix Suns and the Milwaukee Bucks. Still, it's the NBA Finals, so it's going to get a lot of views. And I think what AEW was able to benefit from was some of that promotion during TNT's version of the NBA playoffs. Don't you agree with that?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, hell, how did it not?
All Elite Wrestling Dynamite, it's their first time on the road, right? This is the first time they were out of the Daily Center.
Yes.
Here we go. Fyter Fest is what they're calling it, night one. We start off hot. John Moxley versus Carl Anderson. I got to tell you, I'm really happy.
No, this is the second time, second night, because they were in Miami the week
before. Oh, they were in Miami. That's right. Spreading the shit around then. Now they're.
Yeah.
It's a joke. you're going to the Charlotte show.
Yes.
That's amazing. That's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
I'll be interested in your report. I'll be interested to see what happens there.
Yeah, me too, man. I'm hoping it lives up to what it seems like it would be like.
I think it's going to be a very interesting deal. They seem to be on a pretty good roll right now. It is Jim Ross, Tony Schiavone, and Excalibur on commentary. They costed ring announcer Justin Roberts, who announced the first match would be for the IWGP U.S. Championship, John Moxley against Carl Anderson. I'm happy for Carl Anderson. He seems to be getting his due now as an individual performer. Again, the boys just won the championship over at Impact, so that's a good thing.
Right.
So I'm happy that that's happening for him. John Moxley defeats Carl Anderson. He retains his IWGP U.S. Championship. After the match, Moxley celebrated on top of the ropes and played with the crowd. JR announced the main event will be Paige versus Allen. Wheeler Yuta will face Sammy. Who the fuck is Wheeler Yuta? Did I miss that?
I don't know.
God, they just put these names out there. Against Sammy Guevara.
I'm sure Excalibur will give you a good explanation of it.
Sure. Though. Yuka Sakazaki will face Penelope Ford, and Hangman Page will be interviewed backstage. Lance Archer challenged John Moxley to a Texas death match for the IWGP U.S. Championship in Dallas next week. Brian Cage versus Ricky Starks is up next. Backstage, Andrade El Idolo was interviewed by somebody. By Alex Abrahantes. He explained that Andrade has the go-ahead from Tony Khan to win championship. So have we given up on Vicky trying to get him over?
Apparently.
Are we at plan C now? Is that where we are?
That's what it seems like. I guess. It was a little odd, but yeah.
He explained that Andrade has the go-ahead from Tony Khan to win championships anywhere he wants to. El Idolo asked Abrahantes where the Death Triangle was and told him to pass along a message. He was looking for them. Ooh.
Oh.
As Nash and Hall used to say, ooh. Whatever. In the arena, Ricky Starks made his entrance with Will Hobbs and Hook were at ringside already. Brian Cage followed with his entrance. The match was for the FTW title, which has been, as Taz understood and announced, has never been recognized by any promotion. It is Ricky Starks and Brian Cage. And Ricky Starks, absolute Ricky Starks defeats. Ricky Starks defeats Brian Cage 9:52. He is the winner of the unrecognized FTW title. Unbelievable.
That was after Powerhouse Hobbs nailed Brian Cage.
Quite a bit of interference. All of the Team Taz members celebrated Taz, and the announcer said they screwed Cage out of the title. Hobbs chuckled and Taz ran down to the ring to celebrate with the rest of the crew. The announcement team recapped Malachi Black's introduction. Cody Rhodes ran out, grabbed a headset, and he was pissed. He says, "You do not kill a 62-year-old man. You do not do that." Cody demanded Tommy End or Malachi Black come down to the ring. Black appeared on the screen, told a story about a man who had to put down his prized horse because it wasn't there anymore. He likened Cody to the horse and said when he looked in his eyes last week, he saw the same thing. Cody demanded he come down and get a better look. Black said he hoped he'd say that. The lights dimmed. Malachi Black in the ring. They had a brief brawl and were separated by referees and a bunch of security, and they were upset. Tully Blanchard, walking backstage, was asked about attacking Conan last week. He said it wasn't a cheap shot. He had to take care of business. He walked up on Santana and Ortiz, who was brave for walking around alone backstage. Ortiz grabbed Tully and Santana proceeded a crowbar. He tapped Tully with it and said it was fake, but next time it wouldn't be. Santana told him to get his boys because they respect their elders. Tully said he would just wait in the ring. Tony Schiavone brings out, I got to say, do you agree with me? Hangman Page, number one babyface in AEW right now.
Yeah, I still think Mox gets a lot of pops, but I
tell you what.
But Hangman, yeah.
Which if it's Hangman and then it's Mox, does that make Cody the number three babyface in the company right now?
You know, you could even argue he's even lower than that.
I know. That's the sad thing.
I mean, is that by design or?
I don't think it's by design. I think that there's.
You don't think QT Marshall was going to push Cody over the edge here?
I think they fucked up and they found this guy like completely minimized.
But you know what I have noticed something the last couple of weeks about Hangman Page and I hate to be Mr. Critical here.
Yeah.
But I think one thing that might hurt him hopefully it won't, but I just noticed his mic work still isn't all that, all that great. I mean, it's okay, but he's definitely not Stone Cold Steve Austin or anything, you know?
No, he's not as good a promo as Cody or, Mox. Mm-mm. He's not as good as either one of those guys are for sure.
No. Not, and you know, even Ricky Starks can.
Ricky Starks is amazing. Ricky Starks is fucking that guy's money all day long. Don Callis interrupting Hangman Page. Callis said Cowboy was talking in Texas, but they told him that he was talking, but in Texas they call that all had and no cattle. The entire elite walked out. They told him they repeatedly that he wasn't that guy, just like the meme. Matt Jackson walked down to the ring and told him they were his friends that he abandoned. He could tell by his breath that he was still hitting the bottle. And that just fits the narrative perfectly because he'll be the next wrestling tragedy. Matt dared Page to hit him, so he did. A brawl ensued. Omega looked poised to take a cheap shot on Page, but the Dark Order ran down to even the odds. Page grabbed the microphone and said he still wanted a match, and neither he or Omega were leaving without one. Omega proposed a match between his guys and Page in the Dark Order, elimination style, 5-on-5. It's like the dumbest thing they could possibly propose, right? It's like the dumbest thing.
That elimination tag match.
God, that's stupid. What are you guys doing? Page said he would take that match, but if he got a world title shot. But if they won, he got a world title shot, and his guys got a tag team title shot. Omega said Page had no power to make demands, but he would entertain his idea. Page agreed to walk away from the world title match. Omega then said, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, but you don't fail either. And that is what Page is really afraid of. The crowd started chanting Cowboy shit. Omega said he would take pleasure in turning down those chants into belt collector. Page said the Dark Order doesn't back down from a fight, so they're on. The idea that, like, Hangman Page's backup should be the Dark Order, like the comedy faction, is just... I don't understand that.
Yeah, I'm not really buying that either.
We gotta do something with them. We can't figure out what to do with them.
Well, I bet.
What do we do with them? We can't figure out.
But I guess they're thinking the whole Brody Lee thing, the whole
sympathy
thing is kind of getting the rub off. And why else would it be?
I don't think that dog hunts anymore, pal. I think you got all the mileage you could wring out of that thing. I think that's it. It's over. Done. Dunzo. Finito burrito. Alex Marvez interviewing Chris Jericho. He spoke about Greek mythology. And what MJF didn't remember was that Hercules completed his trials and got what he wanted. He called himself the God of Thunder, the God of War in AEW. And he would walk through fire to get his hands on MJF. Jericho got blindsided by a chair shot to the neck from Sean Spears. He is the chairman of AEW, you know.
Of course.
He held him down while MJF spoke and said that he had to pay him back for that cheap shot from last week. He told Jericho his first labor was next week against Spears, who could use a chair and Jericho could not. Spears then hit Jericho in the injured elbow with the chair. It's hour number two. We started off Matt Hardy versus Christian Cage because it's 1998 all over again. Christian Cage defeating the Hardy Party 13 minutes and 7 seconds. Any thoughts on a particular match?
Not really.
Not really.
It's about what I thought it would be.
Sure.
I mean, it was okay. It wasn't bad, but, you know.
All these years later, Edge in the main event at Money in the Bank in Christian Cage on TV with Matt Hardy on AEW Dynamite.
Who'd have thunk?
After the match, the Hardy family office swarmed the ring, but Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy evened the odds before anything physical could happen. Christian got a ride on the shoulders of Luchasaurus, which seemed to catch Jungle Boy off guard. Interesting. A Miro video package Edward explained how he had lost his way, but God had told him to forgive himself and remember who he was. He called himself the Redeemer. Back in the ring, it's time for the Tony and Britt Show. Tony Schiavone bringing out Britt Baker, your women's champion. Baker shared a hug with Schiavone. He asked her about Nyla Rose. Now she put her through a table. She said she has dealt with tables, ladders, and chairs and thumbtacks before. She came out of it the baddest bitch on the block. She said the real challenge was keeping Nyla relevant. Baker said Nyla is at the top of the food chain. She's off the menu in special order and out of her league. She addressed Vicky Guerrero and said her last name had kept her relevant. Baker claimed that Nyla needed the title to keep her relevant, but without it, she's still Dr. Shit Taker. BME. Guerrero was shown backstage. She said Baker's days as champion are numbered. She then said she would find the biggest jalapeno in Dallas and shove it up her ass. Nyla then said she would give Baker an ass whooping and she would not be held responsible because it's the nature of the beast elsewhere. John Moxley said that one doesn't beat Lance Archer, you survive. And he realized that Archer wouldn't stop coming until he ends his career. Moxley said he's not going to stop either because there's only one boogeyman in AEW and NJPW, and it's John Moxley. Continued and said that Archer was Texas-born bred, but next week he's going to be Texas dead. Thoughts on that particular segment?
I like it. I like Murder Hawk. It ought to be damn off the chain. I mean, with those two, but
we're getting more Murder Hawk and less Jake Roberts.
That's good
for once. Yeah, that's correct. Sammy Guevara versus Wheeler Utah. Sammy sent Wheeler to the floor early and taunted him, and Wheeler landed a back elbow, but Sammy suddenly and quickly replied with a power slam. Sammy went up top for a moonsault, but Utah got out of the way, landed on his feet. The end of it is Sammy Guevara over Wheeler Utah. It's 4:33. Any thoughts on that one?
I'm glad it was only 4:33.
That's correct. That was the correct time for that match. Afterwards, Tony interviewing QT Marshall, who immediately questioned Schiavone's attitude and said he hadn't been buried by the golden shovel, Cody. QT then grabbed a drink bottle and dumped out what looked like a smoothie on Tony's head. Penelope Ford making her entrance, followed by Yuka Sakazaki. This was interrupted by a commercial, and Yuka Sakazaki defeats Penelope Ford at 6:45. The girlfriend independently a few weeks ago did say she didn't like when matches were interrupted by commercials, just independently.
You know, I just don't think that it just upsets the flow in general of anybody that watches anything like that. I mean, don't think about it's like if you're watching, pick a sport, you know, basketball, if they just damn went to a commercial in the middle of the damn game, you know, without it being a timeout.
It's true. But no, we got a picture, so it's fine.
No, it's not. No, it's not fine.
Darby Allin against Ethan Page. It's a coffin match because those are good.
Can't get enough of those.
15 minutes and 22 seconds of our lives were lost, and Darby Allin did defeat Ethan Page.
Let me ask you something real fast about the girl. Did you say she didn't like it when they interrupted it with a commercial or the picture-in-picture or both?
Just didn't like it at all.
Just didn't like it at all.
Yeah, the picture-in-picture thing doesn't work for her. It's not.
Okay, good, good, because I don't like it either.
There you go. Anything about the Allin and All Ego Ethan Page match?
The match itself was okay. I mean, the whole coffin thing was just
stupid.
You know, whatever, stupid.
Ridiculous.
But, you know, I think those guys are good.
After the match, Darby celebrates briefly, then adjusted the casket before going on top and landing a coffin drop through the coffin. Page appeared to have slid to one side.
That was off the chain.
You like that?
Yeah, that was pretty badass.
And for that effort, they got over 1 million viewers.
The whole show, though, was just me. I don't know. It wasn't that great.
Hopefully they can keep their momentum. I think the crowds are definitely firing up these performers. I thought on SmackDown especially, those guys were really – that opening tag match, I thought those guys were really fired up by that crowd.
Oh, they were pumped up for sure, yeah.
You could tell. They had to kind of, like, control their energy. But, man, they were going with it. And Edge was, like, really on fire on Money in the Bank when he came out. He was really getting a lot of energy from the crowd for sure.
I like I said, I missed that him and Roman's entrance on that, but I guess that's good. I mean, I didn't really know what to expect with Edge, because you just never know with some of these older guys like that with today's crowd. You don't really know what to, because you got guys like me and you who kind of were in, I guess, the wheelhouse for Edge's fans, I guess, back in the day.
Probably.
And I think you and I are pretty much the same on Edge. You know, we're just like, yeah, I like him, but it's like, I'm not like, yeah, gung ho, exactly. Edge. You know?
Exactly.
And I think a lot of these younger people they kind of know who he is, but he's nothing. He's not like Stone Cold or somebody like, you know, just that everybody knows wrestling fans or not. So I don't know. That being said, if you say that he got a big pop, I think that's a good sign, though.
I think it is.
For him, for Edge, for sure.
This is some of the news and notes from Wrestling Observer on SmackDown when they were pushing next week's show. They billed it as from a sold-out arena in Cleveland as well as the Rolling Loud Music Festival in Miami. The reality is that Cleveland is nowhere close to being sold out, and they have many sections unopened. It's not likely it's going to be a bad house for it's not selling out legit. I was surprised that the place – what did you think of SmackDown? You thought the place didn't look quite as full as it could have?
It was hard to tell because of the way they jump around with the camera shots, you know. I guess I could have maybe went back and freeze-framed it, but when they were jumping around a few times, it did look like there was a lot of empty seats, like on the side, like up in the lower level and the back part of the lower level and
right
in the upper level too, just scattered around. It didn't look like every seat was filled. But
I would be shocked if there wasn't a lot of paper. Feels like there was a lot of paper in there, and it feels like there's going to have to be a lot of paper for some of these TV deals in order to get them kind of back up. And I don't know when back to normal is going to be, if they're ever going to sell house shows like they ever did or whatever, but I feel like they're going to have to paper a lot of those houses to make it look good for TV.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of sad, really. I mean, it's like, mm-hmm. I'm not saying I feel sorry for WWE or anything, but it's sad just in the fact of it, just for wrestling's sake, I guess.
It is.
You know, because I remember you couldn't find a ticket to those, the TV tapings.
Sure.
Now the house shows were different, but absolutely. Anytime WWE came around and there was a TV taping, a SmackDown or a Raw, man, forget about it. You know, well,
TVs and pay-per-views were always a big deal.
And pay-per-views for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. After the sellout in Houston and at the show, WWE smartly already had tickets ready for purchase for the return on 10/25. That is October the 25th. That's going to be a live Raw. The story on NXT UK brand expanding into the Philippines. There have been some rumors about SummerSlam being moved up to 7:00. So they can get another hour into the show with the 11 o'clock card out because of the Pacquiao fight. Officials have said the main card still scheduled for 8 o'clock Eastern time. Of course, that's Las Vegas time of 5 o'clock. WWE should be announcing a new location for the 9/17 SmackDown show, which was to be in Atlanta, was canceled on Friday after about 1,700 tickets were moved. I'm Jim Herd. WWE announced that it just made sense to swap some dates and the new location should be announced. It just made sense. It's not the tickets were, so we just had location thing. It's geography. It was geography. That's what made us do it.
So they're trying to cover up the fact basically that Atlanta didn't sell. They weren't selling tickets.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Dude.
There was a mention of the death of Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff, on CBS Sunday Morning. So there you go.
Yeah. People don't realize he was a bigger name dude than you would think he was. If you weren't around back when he was the shit, mm-hmm. you know, Mr. Wonderful, then I don't think you realize how big he really was.
If you, I think Brian Last had a great point when they talk about the atrophy with his arm and stuff. He says it might even go all the way back to 83. If you look at some of the stuff in 83 with Mid-South, you can kind of start seeing it there. I think that's an interesting point.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I just remember when him and Snuka were in Mid-Atlantic, man. I love them. I fucking love them.
It was a really good baby face tag team, right?
Yeah, that was one of I'd say them and Steamboat and Youngblood were my two favorite tag teams back in that early era of when
If you ever saw Snuka and Crockett, could you ever imagine him being a heel? I could never imagine him being a heel, right?
Mm-mm.
Because the kid, he was like a, he was like a superhero, the Superfly character, and the way he came out. People, the kids loved him. The kids like would cheer for him. They were crazy for him.
Oh God, yeah, yeah. And he was like when he it seemed like when they would talk to him, you know, he was kind of real soft spoken, didn't say a whole lot. He didn't get into the Superfly character like he kind of did in, you know, the Wild Man in WWE, WWF, whatever.
And he would, but he would always, the kids loved him. And he would do that move, and he wrestled barefoot, and he had like the wild, you know, he had the loincloth thing going on. So it was like a Tarzan kind of character, and kids were they could identify with that.
And he was definitely, dude, he was like one of the big, the maybe arguably the main high flyer back then. I mean, there was really hardly anybody that could do what he did.
Nice.
Snuka, yeah.
On the AEW front, they say there's been good movement on ticket sales for Wednesday night in Garland. As of last night, they had 5,118 tickets, so they're only 476 shy of a sellout. It did not appear a sellout was possible, but now they have a fairly decent shot at it. See, that's what you do with AEW is that's the smart thing is they're not playing these huge places a lot. So you can – these are good-sized arenas. They look fine on television, and you can sell them out and get a lot of people in there.
Yeah, and most of those AEW crowds are loud anyway, so they're just they make them sound like they're 10,000, 12,000 people there.
I want to look and see how much the Bojangles are holds. This will be very interesting. It's an 8,600 seat arena. Okay. So I'll be very interested to see how that goes. See how many of those they, I think they could do very well. I think they've done well in Charlotte before.
It seems like it when they were there. Yeah. Charlotte's usually pretty good. Charlotte's usually a pretty good wrestling town.
That was like their first, it was like their second maybe TV show or something was in Charlotte. Second or third.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, it was one of the early ones.
Yeah. All right, any other closing thoughts on another award-winning episode of Katie Vick is Alive Alive?
Actually, I have a quick story. It's kind of a funny story, Right. My brother, who goes around, works different places. He travels a lot and all. He went actually to Atlanta and was having dinner with one of our old friends there. And he said he was, this is just a couple of days or so ago too. And he was like sitting there and he looked over the guy's shoulder that he was having dinner with. And he goes, damn, that guy looks familiar. And keep in mind, my brother's not really he knows a lot of wrestlers mainly because of me, but you know, he wouldn't know every single wrestler, but he's like, man, I know that guy. Who is that guy? And he's like, oh shit, that's Ric Flair. And so he's like, the guy Flair was up getting another drink or something at the bar, you know.
Oh, no, some really? Steak.
I know that's hard to believe. He didn't take a picture or anything, so you just have to take my word for it on this. But that, yeah, they were at some big fancy steakhouse in Atlanta or something. And my brother's like, he said, oh, Nature Boy. And he's like, how you doing, sir? You know, he answered him back. He's like, oh, shit. My brother was kicking himself because he didn't show him the picture of me and my brother and Sergeant Shockley and Flair. He had it on his phone. I'm like, dude, you should have done that.
Oh, that
would
have loved
that shit.
Oh, Jesus.
But anyway, he's like, but he was talking to some of the staff after he left, after Flair left. And one of the guys was like, yeah, man, he lives like a mile from here. He comes in here all the time.
That's awesome.
And he said, I had to drive him home last week.
Oh, no. Oh no, like, we've been led to believe he was reformed.
Mm-mm.
Oh, that's unfortunate. So. Oh, we've been led to believe that the Nature Boy had been reformed.
No, according to one of the wait staff at the steakhouse there, that he drove Ric Flair's Mercedes back to his house.
Well, that must be nice.
Yeah,
that must be nice.
I bet he tipped him well.
I made that video years ago that kind of broke the news that even when Rick was under contract at TNA, he was going to go in the Hall of Fame with Evolution. And at the end of the video, I called him champ. And I had all these people on YouTube calling me, oh, you're such a mark. Such a mark for calling him champ.
Oh, whatever. What the fuck?
You call Ric Flair. You always call
Ric Flair. That's what
you call
everybody. Fuck, dude. If I see goddamn Rick Converse, I'm going to call him champ.
All day. I'll call Rick Converse champ till he's not alive anymore. That's for sure.
He's fucking champ. Fuck.
He's the champ. People. Absolutely. Yeah. Fucking mark.
God dang.
I'll beat all of you.
Fuck them.
Brian, you can follow Brian on Twitter and Instagram at Bryce Sports, BRY Sports, and he's followable on TikTok, Stanley Jackson 23. The show is followable on the Twitter machine at Katie Vick Alive, and you can also find us. I'm at Britt Whitmire on Twitter, BRITTWHITMIRE,
and on Instagram. It's B-Dub for Reels. B-D-U-B number 4, R-E-E-L-Z. Support what we do by shopping at our Amazon store. And, of course, that is katievick.com, katievick.com.
Fans, that'll do it for this week. See you next week. And until then, so long for now.